it'll kill you, it'll make you wish you weren't doing it, but once you finished it and you said, holy cow, I got through it, it's incredible. And then, as you said, everything in life seems easier. And that's how every other challenge is, you know, and you get that rush now. It's like, oh, now I want to do a 10K. Now I want to do a 21K. Now I want to try to do a 50K. And you keep wanting to push yourself even more. Before you know it, you're doing 100K races.
You're listening to All In, a podcast brought to you by the Refined Gentleman's Lifestyle Lounge, powered by Podcast Network Asia. In this episode, Noel sits down and talks to Michael Reyes. From MMA fighter to Spartan Race Philippines race director, Michael Reyes shows us that his races prepares you to overcome the chaos of modern day life. When you complete it, it completes you. This is All In.
How's it going?
It's good, man. It's good. Just, you know, finish it up the morning, getting into the afternoon. Every day is in the same apartment, starting to blend together.
Oh, I know, right? Your hair is so long, man. I love it.
My beard and my hair are going until quarantine's up. And not enhanced. I'm talking about general quarantine. I will be getting my hair cut, my beard shaved by a refiner.
That's hilarious. No, I know. I'm actually, like, again, for me, it's just like, I'm just curious. I am actually just really curious how long my hair would have been if I just let it go. Now I'm like, the top part's long.
Yeah.
But the sides are like, damn it, I should have just left it. It would have been, you know, because I used to have really, yeah, really long hair. You know what I mean? So I kind of miss that sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I always like change. And that's why I let my hair grow. I let my beard grow a lot. It's like, I don't want to look the same all the time. I bore myself. I constantly wanted something different.
It is. And I mean, that we'll talk about that in a bit. But as a race director, you get to change things up all the time. It's always different people. I mean, you'll probably get the regulars that come out, but it's nice to see. I don't know. For me, it'd be amazing to see someone doing it for the very first time and finishing it. And you're like that, you know, that feeling of like, wow. You know, that was awesome. I helped create that feeling, yeah, that person has when they cross the finish line. You know what I mean? So that's always changed, and that fits your personality all the time. And you being an MMA fighter back in Cali, that's the same thing, yeah, too. You never knew who you're gonna fight. Like, they might be, you know, obviously you'll know their technique or what they specialize in, but every fight is different. So that kind of fits to your personality. If you don't like to be stagnant, like you're constantly, let's do something different. Let's do something different.
Not at all. And that's why this quarantine's killing me, man. It's totally killing me. You know, I came out here to constantly change it up, to travel, to get out. You know, I love Southeast Asia, Thailand. I do work there with Spartan, Malaysia, Singapore. And just the lack of, I think this is the longest time I've been in one place for like 5, 6, 7 years, right? Yeah, yeah. So it's killing me. But yeah, on that, it's, you know, to me, life's all about change. And I like to have just a constant, you know, a variety of things in my life. And, you know, now that I have a family and I'm a kid, it's how do I balance that, right? And I think this has been a good, this quarantine, I diss it a lot. But it's actually, there's some good things about it. And so, you know, it's helped ground me. I've been with my son. My son's 11 months now, and yeah, I'm able to be with my son every single day. You know, there's no work. I don't have an excuse to go out and all that stuff. And so, you know, now my challenge here is how do I take that, you know, my desire for variety, my desire to travel, change, and then how do I find a good balance with something stable and building roots and all that stuff. And it's a journey, and it's interesting, and tie it into Spartan, right? It's like, okay, we have these venues every year, and you know, there's only X amount of places you can put on a Spartan race, right?
Yeah.
And so I have to have to build those roots, because you build relationships with vendors, with venues, with landlords, the governments, and you know, you can't build that every single time. You have to, you know, go in 2, 3, 4 year plans. But when you come back to it, it has to have variety. As I said, I get to change up the course, and that's what's nice about it. It's not like the same running course every time. I get to be creative, and you know, you may come to one of our venues 3 times, you won't get the same race, right? So life's kind of like that. You gotta kind of meld the constant, right? Because it's not good to be in the wind all the time and never make up your mind, never commit to anything.
Yeah.
but also how do you blend that with changing it up, right? with having variety in your life so things don't get stale, so you don't get bored, so you don't start resenting things and, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. So it's all very interesting. And
there's no plan. If you have a plan that you're going to be disappointed, you have to be able to adapt to whatever you're kind of focusing. Okay, we'll do it this way. Okay, that didn't work. Okay, let's quickly adapt and fix that. But if you're one of those people that has to be on this checklist and has to be planned out, you're going to be like very stressed out, you know. And that's what's great about, you know, what's great about life is you get to adapt to that, and you'll find more peace when you accept that, hey, okay, that didn't work out, but look at what we just did. Something happened. Yeah. Something great happened. Right.
Yeah. And I'd say you have to adapt to that to be successful by any metric, right? You have to be able to take things that come your way, and you have to, you know, if you're used to traveling all the time, or, you know, being out and about, and then you get confined in a quarantine, you have to be able to adapt to that. You have to be able to figure out how to keep your business going. You have to, you can't just say, I give up, you know, and there are people that do that and they fail. You can't win that way, right?
Exactly.
So,
no, that's what one thing I really love talking to you about, you know, because when you're as a race director, the way I see it is you're also, every time you plan for a race and you launch the race, it's like opening up a business every single time. It's like brand new. It's a brand new business every single time. So you'll do one in Pampanga. That's one business. And then you'll do one in Angla. You'll do another, which is so amazing. Like, you should like have your own podcast about talking about opening up businesses, because I've seen you in action. Like, how you are now is not how you are during race time or when you're on the field. You are laser focused. I remember seeing you, maybe it was like 5 a.m. Amy was checking in and we were already like, hey, how's it going? And you're like, oh, good. Okay, I got it. And then you're on your walkie talkie and I'm like, who's that guy? And it was freaking awesome to see you in that world. Cause I always see you in the refined world when you're, coming down and recharging and absorbing it. Now I know why you do that. I know why you go to the refine and take that hour or two to kind of recharge, because when you're on it, when you're on game day, man, bro, like, you're super laser focused. And I think that was your fight name. Was it your fight name? Michael Laser Reyes.
Laser Reyes. Yeah.
And I'm like, yep, that was exactly how you were, man. And it was amazing watching you do that, because it was hectic. Like, in my eyes, that was friggin' how many friggin' things you have to like compartmentalize, like put in your brain and say, okay, I have to figure this. But you did it like naturally. Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. Some guy at the end of the race was complaining about, I don't know if he took a different route or whatever, and you were trying to calm him down, but you were so like, no, this is how it is, but you know. And it was like, you're like a business owner every single launch day.
it's like a grand opening every single time.
Right? It was so, Michael, man, it was so epic seeing that, man. I'm like, it's crazy.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Man, if anybody has never done a Spartan race, like I haven't, I've done something similar to it back in Toronto. It was only 5 kilometers. And I'll be honest with you, it killed me, because I'm going to use the excuse, I have asthma, which I do. And it was tough. Like, I'm like, oh man, I can't breathe. The obstacles for me was good. And that's what I wanted to do. That's like, for me as an entrepreneur, I love those obstacles. But the whole running part was like, I freaking hate this. If only I can fix that part. And then I promise you, I was going to do a race this year, but oops, sorry, there's quarantine.
Oops. If anybody's
listening, man, if you want to test yourself, you have to register one of these races, the Spartan race, the 5K, the simple, you know, just the shorter one. Yeah. It'll test you. Like, 5K is not a lot. And I know Ravilson does what, the 50K, like the beast, and
he did the ultra. Yeah.
The ultra and stuff. And I'm like, no, but 5K was hard for me, but you know what? I came out of it and I don't even know what place I finished, probably last, but it was like, oh man, that was awesome. And what happens is, everything in your life actually is a lot easier now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've never taken yourself to that point with Amy when she was doing, what did she do? It's not the Ulta. She did the Beast. I think she did.
She did the Beast. Yeah. The 21K. Yeah.
Yeah. I've watched Amy train in the gym, in the boxing gym, in our personal boxing gym, she never gets tired, ever. Like, she went to school, I think, on a scholarship for cross country. She was dead at the ropes. Like, I've never seen her like that. Like, this was the first time I've ever seen her not being Superwoman. Like, I'm like, what the hell? Why is she tired? Just do burpees. And she's yeah. tired. But after it, she's like, fuck it. Like, she was like, I got to do it again. That's an amazing formula. Wait. I think you cut out. Hold on. Hello? Michael, hold on. I don't hear you. Hold on. We're recording, but your mic is not on. Hold on. Is that me? No. Can you hear me? Nod your head if you can hear me. Can you hear me now? Let me see. Something went down. Can you hear me? If you just nod your head if you can hear me. I can't hear you. There.
Okay.
Something happened.
Sorry, my headphone went out.
Oh, it was battery dead. No. Hey, don't worry. The editor will cut. What time is it?
Cut.
Yeah, he'll cut that out. Don't worry. But yeah, that's what I love about the races, the Spartan race, is that it really tests everybody, right? But Amy is a different animal too. She pushes herself. I would never do that. If I went to the beast, I would take my time. If the sun's coming down, oh well, I'm doing a night race kind of thing. But yeah. That's what's great about the people that go to these races, and you see every single type of person. Again, it's you see humanity right there every yeah. day. And I envy you, man. I envy you that you see that. I don't know if you do see that. If you, I've actually absorbed that, but it's amazing what you see.
Yeah. No, it's a big perk what I do. And it gives a lot of, gives me a lot of fuel to continue, you know, seeing how it changes people's lives. And, you know, I mean, martial arts changed my life, right? I was a fighter back in Cali, and it saved my life, I would say. You know, I was going down the road of being morbidly obese, and, you know, I mean, I might have been one of those guys that COVID killed off if I never got into sports.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I really do attribute it to saving my life. And what really brought me to Spartan, and what made me fall in love with Spartan so much, was how that was for so many people. Very little people get in their ring, right? I mean, I'm sure you knowing Amy, very few people are like Amy. Yeah. Very few people want to go in there and learn martial art, and then not just learn, then test yourself and fight another human being.
Yeah.
And that's reserved for maybe 1% of the population.
Yeah.
But Spartan opens that up to 100% of the population. You could get something similar doing a Spartan race. I mean, it'll kill you. It'll make you wish you weren't doing it. But once you finished it and you said, holy cow, I got through it. It's incredible. And then, as you said, everything in life seems easier. And that's how every other challenge is, you know, and you get that rush now. It's like, oh, now I want to do the 10K. Now I want to do the 21K. Now I want to try to do a 50K. You know, I tried the 50K. I didn't finish it. I'm trying again, you know, I'm trying, you know, you keep wanting to push yourself even more. Before you know it, you're doing 100K races, you know, like a lot of these people in these ultra communities, right? And before you know it, you know, or you stop at 10K and you're like, hey, this is where I'm at and I'm feeling good and I can still kick ass at life, you know, doing this. So it really is amazing thing. And, it's changed my life. I used to hate running. Now I can run. You know, I can run 5-10K.
But didn't you have to learn? Like, you know, didn't you have to run as an MMA fighter? That's a huge thing.
That's my big secret. I never ran. I never ran at all. I did a lot of jump rope. I did a lot of just a lot of sparring, you know, a lot of grappling sparring, jiu-jitsu sparring got me through it. But I hated running. I got flat feet. I got, you know, my body's not built for running. That's why I say I'm a fighter. I'm not built for running. So,
is that what it is? Like, if you have flat feet, that has something to do with running. Like, it's harder.
I think it's harder.
I have flat feet too.
I think it is. You know, super bro science right here, but I think it's definitely a factor in how well you can run.
That's what I'm holding on to. I'm telling everyone, I'm not running because my feet are flat.
Yeah. Well, my first pain is not, it's usually cardiovascular pain that gets through. My first pain is my feet. I whenever, you know, about 10K in, my feet start hurting. Then after my feet, it's my ankles. And after my ankles, my knees. So there's got to be something out there. I've always had inlays and orthopedics. But, I mean, you look at my body and I'm like, oh, that guy's not meant to run. You know, put me next to a triathlete or Olympic runner or something. It's like,
I was the same thing with, not that I played hockey. Like, I wasn't one of those Canadians, which, you know, any Canadian listening to it now, I'm actually going to admit to it, but I never really played hockey. But I would play this thing called shinny, which is like midnight hockey with my bros and stuff. And, you know, we would rent out a rink. But I noticed that my feet would hurt so bad when I would skate, until I came across, I don't know where I was at one of the sports stores, and it was like this little, it's about the size of like 3 inches, and there's a little bump on it that you actually put underneath your arch in any shoe. That changed my life. I just don't know where it is anymore. It's somewhere in Toronto, but that little thing, and I can never find it ever again. It helped my feet. I never had sore pain when I would snowboard and ski back in the time when I was skiing. I always put that on, and it made a difference. It just raised it up. So maybe.
Was it like a little artificial arch for your flat feet?
It's like a foam arch, but it's not a whole, like it's not the whole, it covers the whole shoe. It just literally fits. And it was a Velcro that fit on your shoe at where your arch is there. Mm-hmm. And then you put your shoe on normally. And now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going to see if I can ask my dad. It's probably in my little crates of stuff, because it now that I remember, that changed my life, because I couldn't snowboard for the longest time because it would hurt my shins because of your foot with twist, right? So your shins would be always hurting, especially at the next day. That actually changed it. So, yeah, because I want to take up running. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I want to run. I did it once before the first week of quarantine. And actually, I don't know what it did. It actually relaxed my brain, because I was kind of freaking out the first week. So I do want to do it. And then my plan was to run more, because secretly I was going to join Spartan and do one of the 5K race to kind of test myself. And then they said, nope, it's ECQ, no running at all. I'm like, are you kidding me? I wasn't even allowed to run. So I'm like, all right, fine. So that's the plan. I'm actually testing out, become a vegetarian, just to see how that feels body-wise.
Cool.
Because again, I'm turning 50 this year. So I'm like, okay, let me just figure out what my body's telling me, right? And the Spartan race, when I saw Amy do it, I was scared to ever do it, because I've never seen anything beat Amy up that way. Even she completed it, she ranked high, but it was exhausting just watching her. But then it told me, it's like, you know what? I have to try this. I have to try Spartan. So I'm excited when quarantine. So what's the plan now? What's post quarantine?
Yeah. So right now the plan is Q4. So we have an event planned in September, early September, and obviously very tentative. You know, we got it. Obviously we want to get the government's approval. We want to do it, you know, with all mm-hmm. all parties approved. But so we're kind of keeping an eye on the situation, but the goal here is September. And there are races in East Asia, and I think the U.S. in Jacksonville, Florida is next month already, early next month. So, you know, we're going to have races. We're going to be able to see how the impact is worldwide before we get to the Philippines. I think like Japan is doing July. I think Taiwan has something in June. So we're going to, you know, learn a lot there. And then now, right now, we're just working on how we're going to make the race safe. Because even in September, we know there's no vaccine. There's going to be not 100% chance to keep everyone safe from COVID. So we're going to make sure that you know, we keep strict social distancing. We make sure that the protections, whether that be PPE or you know, sanitation zones, are in the race. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to just change how we do things. And you know, you're not going to see 250 people in a start corral anymore. Yeah. It's going to be more like 50 people spread out every 5 minutes instead of 250 people every 15 minutes. And yeah, it's going to change the experience a little bit. You know, we may not encourage you to hang out in the festival, party a little bit after the race. You know, we're going to unfortunately have to ask you to wear masks in the festival and the start and the finish. Yeah. But, you know, all of this is just to protect everyone and just to make sure that, hey, we can get back to it. Because I think it's really important for people to get out. I think it's important for people to train for something.
Yeah.
You know, goals are super important. You know, if you don't have a goal, you can't get onto a regiment. You can't get on to, you know, you can't really effectively make yourself better without a goal. And what I look at Spartan in terms of a product, honestly, is a goal for people. So you sign up for that race, and that puts into motion a whole a framework within your life so that you can arrive at that race and perform your best. And so I think that's really important for people to just become healthier, to get out, to get used to get some sun. Vitamin D is so important in this fight. To build your immunity, you got to get physically fit because that's your first defense against any of these viruses. Everyone's saying COVID's not going to be the last thing coming, you know, in our lifetimes. We're probably going to have another one, you know? So what are we going to do? Are we going to shut the world down again? Or are we going to get healthy? Are we going to build our first defense? Our first defense is the immune system. And you look at the facts on COVID, and there's so many people, healthy people, that aren't as affected as those who are not healthy. You know, not a doctor, but my personal opinion, not an epidemiologist or anything, not an expert, but so I've got a preface, but my personal opinion is, why is the U.S. getting hit so hard? We have one of the unhealthiest populations in the whole world. Exactly. Obesity is an epidemic.
Exactly.
You know, I hear guys like Joe DeSena and military guys who go abroad and then they come back to the United States and they say, hey, I feel like I've walked into a zoo with a bunch of elephants. Yeah. You know, not my words.
But it's true. 100% true.
It's 100% true.
Yeah.
People want to glaze over the fact. Yeah. They want to glaze over the fact that health is not important in this COVID thing. They want to wait for a vaccine.
It is the number one thing.
And it's bullshit.
The number one thing. You're right. They're not saying that in the news. They're not saying that WHO is not saying that. Like, they should make it a priority that it's fitness.
Yeah.
Like with gyms.
But the WHO is saying that, but they're saying it on the sly. Oh, by the way, vitamin C and vitamin D and exercise. What are you doing?
Yeah, you have to exercise. Like, they can figure out in the gyms, like with, you know, it sucks that they can't open up the gyms right now because what they can do is by appointment only. If they really are huge about contamination, so why don't they do only 5 people per hour for now? Make an appointment. Yeah. You come in, you have an appointment to work out at the gym, work out for 5, and then someone's there cleaning or you're cleaning, and then you're out, and then the next 5 come in. But they're not doing that. Like, you have to, like, fitness is key. Like, that's why I love, like, Spartan Race. For me, it's like, that's probably the safest place to, that you're not going to catch anything because no one's like right beside you unless you're doing a group thing. But basically, Amy was saying when she did the beast, she stood there sometimes and says, I can probably stay here for an hour and not one person is going to walk by me or run by me. It's like, it's so isolated. It's, you know, to yourself and stuff. And then you can plan out the, you know, staggered starts and stuff, but it's ridiculous that the solution that the government's giving the people is, oh, stay home. Oh, no, just don't worry. Just stay home. No, that's not going to make us feel better. It's not going to help the spread. We have to be healthy. Like, yeah, you're right. Like, you know, when you go to the States, I'm from Toronto, but when we went to the States, we always look forward. This is, you know, because it was fun. But when we go to a restaurant like, you know, Olive Garden, we knew the plates were going to be huge full of food. Because that's what they're everything's big.
It's useful. You go to 7-Eleven. It's like
the big gulp.
The regular gulp is 32 ounces. That's the regular gulp.
Yeah.
The big gulp is 44 ounces.
It's over a liter. Nuts. Yeah, it's nuts. It's freaking crazy. Like places like, I you know, like Texas and their barbecue. Oh my God. I mean, it is. You're right.
I love Texas and I love their barbecue, but there's a balance to it.
And that's why I think fitness, you know, for me, I think that's why these Spartan races hit so big because people got a wake up call and says, you know what, I have to test myself and do that. Like I haven't done it now because of what's going on, but I love CrossFit. I'm like huge in CrossFit. Mm-hmm. The anxiety I get is like, I'm assuming for a fighter, the anxiety you get before you get in the ring, that's the same anxiety I get before a workout at a CrossFit box. I'm like, okay, what are you going to put on the board now? Oh my God. And then, you know, you're going to take your body to the limit, but at the end of it, failure or no failure, you feel so good. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe I just did that 12 minutes. And it was just 12 minutes. It's like, wow, that really tested me. Then I realized the rest of my day was so easy. nothing fazed me. It's like, okay, we're gonna, because again, you're testing yourself. But that's the same thing with immunity, like, you know, obesity. We have to, this is what the COVID-19, I think, unmasked, is how unhealthy parts of the world really are. And we need to really start fixing that. Like, we really we need to start fixing the health of everyone, like giving better options. You know what I mean? Like Salad Stop, I like going to Salad Stop, but I wish there was more options than just Salad Stop to get healthy foods. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, I think your foray into vegetarianism is a big factor of that. I think, you know, I am a vegetarian with certain, you know, every once a week I actually have meat. But you know, I think our meat consumption is way too high. I think our culturally we just have bad habits, whether it's food, you know, I love food. I'm a big food person. I love steak and wine. I love all that stuff. But you got to realize that, you know, all these things that our cultures have been putting on us and saying, it's okay to have that chicharrón. It's okay to have that lechon every single day. You know? And then you think, and that's how hard it was for me to become vegetarian. I was so resistant for a long time. I was like, no, my culture, I'm a meat eater. I like my beef. I like my, I like my lechon. And I held on to that. And then when I finally, you know, my wife after 5 years finally got me to give it a go for just a month. She said, just do it for a month.
Yeah.
I totally felt that the change in my body. And I was like, holy cow. The stuff that were, and I was an athlete. I was working out. I was doing all this stuff. And then I removed all the food, the bad foods, on a consistent basis.
Yeah, consistent.
You know, because that's important, right?
Yeah.
That's important because you can go and have a cheat meal and you shouldn't feel bad about that. Go Christmas party, you know, go eat your lechon, do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, day to day, you need to realize that you need to be responsible for yourself and you need to be, and that's going to result in overall health because this overall health, this is our protection, and we can't rely on society to close down every time some new disease comes out. That picks off unhealthy people, because it's been happening forever. You know, I mean, I was just reading earlier, was it the Hong Kong flu back in the 60s, you know, back in the Woodstock time. I mean, that took out a million people.
Yeah.
Didn't shut down the world.
Yeah.
And before that it was the Spanish flu of 1918, which is a way worse disease than what we have now.
Yeah, you know? It's so, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why.
We can't rely on society to shut down for stuff that we need to have personal responsibility for a lot of this stuff, you know, and I recognize that there are certain quarantine measures that we have to do as a group. Fine. We get through it, we flatten the curve or whatever, but this consistent of, you know, one more month, two more weeks, one more month, it doesn't work. Yeah. And especially when we learn that it's all about our personal health that we have to keep, you know.
Well, it's like, again, it unmasked the things that we were doing wrong. Like, they said that more men are catching COVID than women. You know why? Because we're dirty. Like, we don't wash our hands. Yeah, we don't do any of that stuff. We're constantly, I'll do it later. Or I don't know how to wash my hands properly or something like that. That's why they're catching it. But still, I mean, that's what you should have done the very first time. I mean, I know I had the flu so many times. It's when I was riding, you know, the subway to go to work. That year of riding the subway, I got sick a lot because I was like, I didn't care. I'm like holding the pole and then rubbing my nose. That's how you catch it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's the same thing with COVID-19. If you protect yourself, like I have a mask, but I'm like, do I really need to wear a mask? Like, really? I'm not going up to, like, I do have a personal space. I just went to the grocery store and I know I have a personal space. You come too close, it's not even that I think I'm going to get COVID-19. Don't stand close to me in general. Like, I have my space, right? So if everyone respects that, then I think you'll be fine. Like, I don't know. It's just, this is such a weird time. But health
and I'm going to agree with you. I think, I think there are some positives to pull out of this. So as I said, I bashed this whole situation quite a bit, but I think we can pull out. You know, I finally learned how to wash my hands.
Yeah, me too. I really did not know how to wash my hands. I had to watch like a YouTube surgeon teach me the 20 seconds of overlapping the fingers. And I'm like, I would always wash the top part, not even thinking at the back part. I'm like, that makes so much sense.
I was also addicted to doing this.
Yes.
Like in post.
I would do this all the time.
I'm like waddling doing this.
Or I'm thinking, I'm always biting my fingers just because I'm thinking. That's a habit. I don't do that anymore because of this. And I'm also wearing a mask. At home, I noticed that, I don't bite my nails as much anymore because I'm starting to not put my fingers in my mouth. Right. But that's
so good. Lesson learned. Let's continue keeping these good habits going. Let us out of our homes, please. Right.
Please, yeah. And then now the WHO and CDC just came out with a report that it's a lot harder. It's not as easy to get the COVID-19 virus off tabletops. It's not as contagious, but yet a month or 2 months before they're saying, don't touch anything, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, which one is it? And I think they're still trying to figure it out, but look at the world, man. Like everything paused and it's crazy that everyone is doing like this conversation. This podcast should have been in person. I'd rather have it in person. Like I'd rather have it at the Revive, at the poker table, because this is what we know them do. But now everyone's like virtual and we need to stop that. I'll be honest with you. Like I can't wait for it to go back to normal. I'm going to be with the first ones to, let's just wash your hands. Don't put your fingers in your face, whatever. And then let's see what it does. I think the scientists, I sympathize with them. It's just a hard thing. I think it's hard to really get a grasp of what this virus is. But you're right. I think the Spanish, the flu and all that, older generations, unhealthy generation, unhealthy people, they have a lot more chances of getting it, unfortunately, right? So that's what
you need
to watch out for.
And we got to do our part. But you don't want to blame, honestly, and you said something about everything's virtual. I honestly blame the internet for this. And I love the internet. I'm the internet generation. So don't get me wrong. I don't wish we don't have. But the fact is that we can know about something, we can know about a hotspot 10,000 kilometers away in a second.
Yeah.
We know about this thing. One big head scientist mutters something, a thought, something revealed itself in the day, a study with that one day, it gets picked up in a headline and immediately circulates around the world and it affects policy and people. The fact that the facts are coming in so fast, or the perceptions of these facts, right? Because we don't know what's going on. A lot of doctors don't know what's going on. And their research is showing this. Some other person's research is showing that. And that's a good thing. This is all evolution of how we're going to get to solutions. Yeah. However, we are starting to see every second, every point of the way. And we get it on their Twitter feed. We get it on our Facebook feed. We get it on our Instagram feed. And guess what? We're stuck inside. So guess what we're looking at? We're looking at our Twitter feed. We're looking at our Instagram feed. We're looking at our Facebook feed. And we're watching this. And then we're like, okay, well, the safest thing to do is stay inside. Let's everyone stay inside.
Yeah.
And so I really do blame the internet because we've come to a point where we know too much. Too much.
Well, they say that. The doctors even
every single outlier.
Yeah.
I mean, one last point is every single outlier, because people are like, okay, even young people are dying too. All right. You got an outlier there. You get one healthy guy that dies of COVID-19 or COVID-19 related symptoms. And then it's in everyone's feed. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone knows that one person that died and they're scared now. And they're not looking at the statistics that one person is one in a million,
No, it's okay. But the doctors even say, like, even before COVID-19, they said, whatever you do, when you get sick or whatever, do not Google your symptoms. They tell you that. Don't Google your fucking symptoms, because you're going to find everything that you did. Oh, my eye is itchy. I wonder why. Oh, it's cancer. People in the internet.
Everything leads back to cancer, right?
It always leads back to cancer. Like, it's like, oh, what's that? Oh, it's cancer. So that's why you can't rely on the internet. You have to rely to the doctors. For me, I'll hear all this stuff. The first thing I do when I read something, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I call my cousin or my uncle, who's a doctor, and said, Michael, what do you think? And then he'll give me his point of view. And it normally is, there's not enough study, but just stay, wash your hands, don't touch your face. You know what I mean? That's what we have to do. It's too big. It's too new that no one knows that. But he does, like, people do agree, don't stop the world. We cannot stop the world. Like, I feel so, I was having this conversation last night And it's disheartening right now that, you know, some of my friends and stuff have restaurants and bars and lounges. And now what? How are you, like, what? Yeah. Now they're doing friggin', you know, drink kits and they'll send it to you. That's, you know, it's great now, but that's not sustainable. And that's not fair that we need to stop their businesses. Like, they employ bartenders and back bars and staff and that really rely on this business. It's not just a party. Hey, let's go to this place and party or have fun. No, it's behind the scenes. These are the people that are working for us, and they can't because of why? Because everyone's afraid that something, you know, they stop the world. I don't know, man. Like, I don't have enough information to say, yes, I agree with reopening or not opening. I don't know that yet, but I think we need to, you know, really look at it and say, okay, let's first work on health. And I think that's what they're forgetting.
Yeah.
Let's start, like, okay, now they allowed us to jog in our neighborhood, but with a mask. I'm like, really? Like, I don't know if you trained with this, but the training mask on MMA, that's friggin' hard, but you're doing that for a short period of time because you're trying to condition yourself for the 5, 10, 15 minute fight that you're about to have. So you're just conditioned, but it's not meant to go running for 10 to 20 kilometers.
There's already been cases of people who have collapsed lungs wearing masks. You know, I just read about a case in the States, someone wearing an N95 mask who passed out driving. Yeah. Because you have to wear it while you drive now, right? Yeah. The guy he passed out, you know, and crashed, you know. So we're bringing on all these externalities on these policies that we're not thinking through.
Yeah,
no one's thinking through it because we're getting the facts too fast. We're getting the information too fast. Everyone's scared. Everyone's, you know, no one wants to be blamed for anything. So let's just do the most draconian lockdown that we possibly can. And
it's
we did everything
sense.
We possibly could, you
it's
know, but
sense.
There needs to be, there needs to be a factor of personal responsibility.
Yeah.
You need to assess, hey, am I healthy? You know, can I be exposed to risk?
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm healthy, can I infect other people? Are there immunodeficient or compromised people in my home or near me? You gotta account for that. So you gotta just have personal responsibility. Then, as the education rolls in, the facts roll in, you start making adjustments to your life, and we start getting back to somewhat of a normal, you know. And we can go through it, and that's how it has to be for the next one, because we can't do this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it does come down to also testing. Like, you do need to test, because there's no. Sometimes you don't even have a symptom. But yet you have it, right? So by testing it, I wish, you know, I know a couple of members at the Refine. One came out with the largest mega swab testing facility that's, I think, launched today or yesterday. It's huge. He's playing his part. Like, that's amazing, because we need to know, okay, do you have it? Because if you don't have it and you don't have any symptoms and whatever, I don't even know the science behind it, then I can, you know, hang out with my dad or my mom or my grandma. Then I know I can, people are more likely to catch it. If I know myself that I don't have it, then okay, that's cool. I'm surprised that they're, you know, I know they're making the kits now, because another member, he's part of it. I won't claim it because, you know, again, I don't know what's happening, but they're getting, in the States, there's an FDA for this antigen that the testing is so fast. That's what we need to start. Don't keep people at home. They need to give like at least kits that doesn't come an arm and a leg to get people tested on a regular basis for now, until they start. Because as soon as I know I'm not, and I go into a lounge or a restaurant, and I know everybody in there does not have it, we can somewhat go back to normal. If you test everyone before the Spartan race, and everyone, like, right away, like, you have 3 minutes, and okay, you don't have it, or oh, sorry, you have it, you know, we can't have you race. That's the only way it can come. We're not going to stop it because we're trying to guess, does that person have it? Does that person have it?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, I think that's definitely a solution. I don't think it's the solution, because
No, it's not.
Yeah. You know, you can't, you see how it's hard to even get, we were what, 4 months into it. COVID came out really in December, right?
In
China. And so we're what, five, six months into it. And we're just now really getting rapid testing. And it's been hard. I mean, it's been hard to move supply chains. And if something new came along, we can't shut down things and say, hey, wait for testing. You know, it can't, and that's a great tool. I think as soon as it gets developed, we should start doing it, and then we can lower our risk that much more.
Yeah.
But you know, my problem really at the end of the day is these draconian lockdowns. It's this, you know, hey, we're going to stop the world because a super cold's going around. That's you know, and if you disagree with this, you want grandma to die. If you disagree with this, you want everyone to die. And I don't agree with that. I think you can be responsible. And I think, you know, the world can work, you know, amidst these things. It has to.
Yeah.
Because it's going to come again. You know, the next one's coming, you know.
But I think what it is, and I thought of this in the beginning, and I was having a conversation with Amy about, in the beginning of the quarantine, there was a, you know, no jogging allowed. At first, obviously, I don't agree with that because I think that, you know, I mean, if you're jogging by yourself and no one's around, you don't have to wear a mask. What they were trying to do is they were doing a generalized rule because people will still congregate together as a group, right? The discipline of people is not there. Like you sort of have to go the worst case in the denominator and say, okay, here's a rule for you. Unfortunately, it has to apply to everybody who actually is disciplined and has common sense. Because if you let everyone say, okay, you can jog, I guarantee everyone will be out using that as an excuse. Or one of the rules in the village was no dog walking. Obviously, we have four dogs and I don't agree with that. But I know why they did it, because people were congregating, about five or six people with their dogs sitting at the fountain saying, oh, hi, no mask, no nothing. I'm like, that's not walking your dog.
Yeah.
Right? People would
use... I see. Yeah, I definitely, I get it. But it comes down to what kind of society do you want to live in? Do you want to live in a society where responsibility and you can take responsibility for actions and go out? Or do you want to live in a society where it's top down, the government says you got to do whatever you want, you know, you got to do what we say or else.
Yeah.
And now we're finding under the guidelines of misconstrued evidence, you know, as you said, the WHO just came out and says it may not be on services, you know, I mean, they're making policies and they're shutting economies down. They're ruining lives. I mean,
it comes down to
Canada,
everybody has to
get the $1,200 a month.
Yeah.
But here, no one's getting any money.
Nothing.
You know, we got staff people. They're relying on us, our entrepreneurs and business owners to support them. And the government's not there for them. Yet the government's going out and saying, oh, you can't work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And to me, I think that there's something that the Filipino needs to reconcile. The Filipino people need to reconcile what kind of world that they want to live in. You know, what kind of society do they want to have? Because, you know, I'm American. I'm American Filipino, so I'm also Filipino, guys. So I could talk about the government a little bit.
me too. Just a little bit.
But I have a lot of American roots. You know, and I have a lot of American tendencies, and that's self-responsibility. Individualism and not letting the government come in and control everyone in my life. And you know, you got to make a decision. Do you want to be an individual in this world and make your own decisions responsibly, or do you want the mayor to tell you exactly what to do? You know, and you got to make your decision on what society you want to live in.
No, I agree. I think what it comes down to is that everybody has to have discipline and common sense. Everybody, not just me, you. Because with that, even without testing, that alone will help. Like, we can open up a lot sooner if people would just, you know, really recognize, okay, I shouldn't be doing this or I shouldn't be doing that. And just have, you know, I'm not going to hug you right now because obviously there's rules but you're basically responsible for yourself. What the government's doing is taking control of that. It says, no, I don't trust any of you guys. I'm going to lock you guys down. And then even now, you know, like you said, with the wages and the allowances, it's like, it's ridiculous. I know in Canada, you know, people got it 24 hours within applying for it. They got 2,000 into their bank account. I know it's a first world nation compared to a developing world, but it still hasn't, nothing has happened. You know what I mean? And this is, we need to restart this in a safe way and everyone has to be responsible. And I think, you know, really, you know, bringing it back where it needs to is bringing back the gyms and bringing back the races and bringing back what is really, really important is the your immunity and fixing and working on being healthier version and having people. And I'm not just saying that because Amy has a gym and I know you very well. That's not it. It's in a mass. Everyone needs to be healthier. I know I do. Like I know being stuck here, it's like, that's why I wanted to switch to vegetarian. It's like, fuck, I feel like I'm snacking. There's no goal. Like you said, when you have a goal, you can work towards it. What is my goal physically? Yeah. You know, because I'm like, oh, great. Mm-hmm. You know, because I noticed in the beginning, the first 3 weeks of quarantine, everybody was working out. Everybody was online doing online classes. And all right, now,
yeah,
I guarantee that's tapered down to like a minimum, because people are like, oh, I don't even know how long I'm going to be in this quarantine. So what's the point? Right. So like being vegetarian or thinking of it, it's not because, oh, I love fruits and vegetables and that's the reason why. No, I was keto and I love keto. So I'm just trying, I'm going to try something different. If that doesn't work, then whatever I can sustain, that's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to try vegetarian and see how that makes me feel. If that doesn't make me feel, and I feel sluggish after a month, I'm still like, eh, I might switch back to keto and do that again. Yeah. But the message there is you have to pick something and be healthy, like fix yourself, be a better version of yourself. And for me, you know, the whole theme of this is going all in life, but that's part of it. For me, being healthy is going all in. Like, you know, I was, when I was unhappy back in the day, I was like 215 pounds because I didn't care. But the one thing that actually helped me was going back in the gym, eating healthy. Then I started looking and feeling more confident, and I wasn't getting sick as much anymore. I noticed that I wasn't getting sick. We need to start bringing that back. Like, I think, I don't know who's going to champion that, but we need to start bringing back health and working out. And like I said, tell the gyms to come up with a protocol that maybe, like I said, 5 people at every hour can book an appointment to work out at the gym with the Spartan Race. Okay, maybe you can't do a, you know, full start of 200 people. I guarantee you guys will figure that out. But the bottom line is health. It's all about health. It's like, you know what?
It's all about health.
Look at Dana White. With everyone criticized him with starting the, you know, UFC back up again. Why are you criticizing him? You know, one, he's a business. He has to, you know, and it's not, he already has millions of dollars. So he's not like he needs more. He's saying, fuck everyone. I'm not getting controlled by a government that have no idea what they're doing. I'm going to start back up. The fighters have to get paid. They need to be healthy. Boom.
Well, it's not the fact that he needs it. It's the fact that I need it.
Yeah.
You need it. Yeah. We need it. You know, I mean, I watched that UFC. I watched that first UFC back, and there's been a couple since, that was one of the, I mean, best UFCs I ever watched.
Epic.
Just because I had to have them for so long, and I need it. And we need sport. We need, you know, entertainment. We need to be able to
get out
and participate in it. We have to watch it at the highest level. That's part of us as human beings. It's part of our culture, and it's part, you know, and unlike the food habits, it's a healthy part of our culture. It's you know, it keeps us strong. And you know, in terms of health, I agree with you 100%. It's our first defense against these invaders, these viruses that are coming out of the woodwork. And you know, if everyone was healthy, we would have a much safer world. Yeah. It's just a fact.
That's why. And these fighters are the healthiest friggin' people in the world. And that's why the only person that caught it that they found was Jacare D'Souza. But I guarantee he's not gonna die. He's gonna go through a really, really bad flu and then get over it, because his body is already conditioned for anything, like his immune system. Like the biggest thing they have to worry about.
He may not even feel it, to be honest.
Well, he might not even feel it,
I think some of those basketball players, those NBA players that got all that, didn't most of them say, like, we didn't have any
symptoms. Yeah, that's, you know?
It's like good luck viruses. You want to go into that body, that killer body is going to murder you as soon as you get in there.
I mean, those
viruses don't like healthy people, man.
Well, it's true. Like, they'll always have that outlier. So, oh, this healthy person got it. Yeah, but did he die? And maybe there is, and we don't know about it, but the majority will not die, right? If you're healthy and your body can fight it, like, knock on wood, Amy, I've never seen her sick ever. Like, we've been together for a little bit over 3 years. I've gotten the flu a few times, maybe about 4 times my whole time with her. I've never seen her even have a cold. And because she freaking trains, she eats healthy.
She's a machine.
But she also eats unhealthy foods. Like, she'll have her balances.
Yeah.
But she works out religiously because not because, oh, I want to have six-pack abs and shredded. No, it's because she respects her body and says, no, this is how I stay healthy. And that is why, knock on wood, she hasn't gone sick ever. And it's crazy that that's the solution to this whole freaking thing. It's not a mask. It's not fucking disinfect. It's health. It's being healthy, eating properly. Stop. Put down the fucking lechon that you eat every single day. Stop it. Yeah, it makes you feel good because you're going through a lot of stuff, but no, put it down. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Again, I can speak of this because I'm full Filipino, but I'm Filipino-Canadian. So just like you, I feel like I can say that. But I've noticed that if you look at the Italian, the Greeks or the Italian, I think the older people living in the country, they have so much energy and they're still working at 90. They're still in the fields picking up tomatoes, all that stuff. But you look at a Filipino older person, they look beat. Like, they're just like shrunk over because there's no nutrients anymore because they lived a life of unhealthy eating, living life, you know, as today's the last day kind of thing. But that's why they shrivel up. And they have no more energy. But you look at other parts in the world, like Japanese people, when they're old, they still have it. They're still boom, because they've always ate healthy.
Well, look at the mortality rates in Japan from this disease.
Yeah.
It's really low.
Yeah.
It's super, super low. Yeah. I mean, and I think, you know, I mean, one of their big cases was a sumo wrestler under 40, the first guy under 40 who was a sumo wrestler who died.
Yeah.
I'm like, the guy's morbidly obese for a profession, right?
Yeah, you know, there's
you know, but other than that, you look at the rest of their numbers. It's not, they got good habits. They have good hygiene. They're healthy. You know, people who live in Japan tell me that the doctors, they'll call you out for being fat. They'll be like, you fat slob, lose some weight.
Yeah.
You know, they keep their weight down. They're healthy people. They're hygienic people. They're you know, and look at how well they're dealing with this thing. So
yeah, no, we can learn a lot. I mean, Italy died. A lot of them died because they have an older generation, a much older generation. So again, you can be healthy, but also when you get a certain age, it's still hard because it's hard on your lungs and all that.
Yeah, and when you get old, it's naturally you become immunodeficient. It's part of life, right? Yeah. And so there always has to be provisions made for those people, you know, that are you know, immunodeficient or weak. But at the end of the day, younger people don't have an excuse. We all, you know, if you're under 60, hell, if you're under 70, I know people in their 60s who are freaking fit. If you're under 70, you really don't got an excuse. You got to be healthy.
Yeah, some of the guys I've seen, I forgot his name. I wish I knew his name, but he's a CrossFitter. He's like 50 or 49, same age as me. Oh my God, he is so, like, not even shredded and all that, which he is. It's just that he took his body, and he was never like that. And people think, oh, he was born like that. He was not. No. He was obese. He was big, but he changed his life, you know, if it's through CrossFit. But if it's not CrossFit, it's like jiu-jitsu. Because I know jiu-jitsu, if you do that for at least 3 months, you will lose weight because rolling is so hard. Like, you were at 10th. Man, I envy you, man. You are a 10th planet. So much respect for you and Eddie, and teaching under the Eddie Bravo way. But rolling, I remember rolling when I was thinking of doing jiu-jitsu and I had to roll for the first time. Oh my God, it was the hardest workout I've ever felt. And this is just like, this is crazy. Like, that's what we need to get back to is doing that. Yeah, you know, I mean, like, we need to, I think testing is important because that's what Dana White did. He tested everyone, right? So the reality is, especially for rolling, there's a lot of transfer stuff. But if two people are rolling that doesn't have it, you're fine. You're not going to just automatically get it. But we need to get back to that because I know how great I felt when I was at the peak performance of being healthy. And I realized that I wasn't stressed as much. You know, I wasn't gaining weight. I all this stuff when I made that conscious effort. And for you, like, it's amazing because what you're doing is not just, hey, let's just do Spartan Race. Let's create a course. It's let's help people get healthy everyone. And like I said, when I went to your race, I saw different shapes and sizes, man. And I'm like, wow, that's freaking, I give credit to all these people, even if they have to walk the last mile or last 10 miles, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just as long as you do it. And we need, like, man, I hope somebody's listening that can take this like and run with it in the government. Like, we need health back in our world. Like, this is, I hate running, but you know what? I want to run. I want to go running, but I just don't want to run with a fucking mask on because I have asthma. So I'm not going to kill myself, but do I want to run? Yeah. I want to go running. Yeah. I want to do all this stuff. I want to work out. I want to go to, you know, I go to Gold's Gym and I love working out with plates and I need that for my mental health and that, that mindset of if me going all in and living life, that's a big part of it is healthy. It's being healthy. You know what I mean? So for entrepreneurs, we need that workout. Like you, I guarantee
I think,
you.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think any health policy, no matter what country you're talking about, no matter what's, you know, what organization you're part of, every single health policy, school, college, work, government, everyday life needs to revolve around personal health, exercise, and fitness. Yeah. That needs to be number one. It can't be about vaccines. It can't be about, you know, and those are all tools. It can't be about testing. That can't be the number one thing. Yeah. The number one thing, the tried and true way over and over and over and over and over again. And I'm sure, you know, pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know this, but it's being healthy. It's being healthy. And all these countries, you know, and it's very easy. You can eat well, you can work out, you can get enough sleep, you can get enough vitamins. Yeah. Most of these vitamins, vitamin D, you go outside. You know, there's no excuse. The education is there. There's so much education online. There's so many organizations like Spartan, like, you know, martial arts, MMA, all that stuff. There's so many places that you can go to become healthy. Yeah. You know, you can look at different diets. You can look at different ways. And you know, that needs to be the number one focus of everyone. Because if we don't want society closed down again, we need to change that metric. We need to be confident that our people are healthy, you know, because if we use the excuse, well, we have a lot of unhealthy people, so we have to shut the world down.
Yeah.
Our race isn't going to last. Our human beings aren't going to last like that. That's for sure.
Yeah. And this is not just because of COVID-19. This is forget COVID-19.
It's everything.
In general, in life itself,
look at how many people die of heart disease.
Yeah.
How many people die of you know, diabetes and all these things that can be curbed by driving fitness and health.
Exactly. And like,
you know, smoking, getting enough sleep.
Yeah. Alcohol. You know? Alcohol. Like alcohol is like people drink way too much. That's not good for you either. Right?
Yeah.
You know, like
a glass of wine.
Yeah,
I love a glass of wine, but
yeah, exactly. That's good for you. That's good.
You got to moderate yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has to be, it needs to go, it always goes back to health. And this whole COVID-19, you know, like, you know, I was listening to Joe Rogan. He's like, then if that's the case, if we're using this metric for COVID-19, okay, nobody's allowed to drive anymore because car crashes. No one's allowed to drink anymore because of, you know, drunk driving. Oh, no one's allowed to smoke anymore. No one's allowed to eat red meat anymore because where is it going to stop? Yeah. Why COVID-19? Why is it, this is the thing. Like, do I agree with the protesting in the States with the guns? Absolutely not. But if you had to kind of go to the core of that, it's because they're saying no one's listening to me anymore. Like one girl that I forgot where she was from, Atlanta, Georgia, that lady who has a salon, the judge arrested her in Texas, and the judge says, okay, well, if you apologize and don't open, then we'll get rid of your case because there was getting a lot of backlash. She goes, no, put me in jail because if beating my kids is a crime, then put me in jail. I'm opening up the salon because I need to feed my kids.
Yeah.
Right. And that's, I get it. I get where the frustrations are. Is there a better way to do it? Yeah. Yes. But I think that people now, especially in the States, is just like, we have 1.6 million people that have it already. The cases, and it's ridiculous. And obviously we can talk about Trump, but people can't live their life. And like I said, I think the big part of it is money, but two, I think it's also people, there's a lot of people that, you know, I'm going to say it, but all went all in life. And now you're stopping me from living my life the way I want to. And now you're now you're it's not about freedom and you know, the First Amendment and all that stuff. It's about, I want, this is my life. I want to, I'm responsible human being. I want to spread the positive energy that I have, but you're not allowing me to do that anymore. So that's really holding them back. I want to work out because I know what it does for myself. Because they were saying that, yeah, there's a lot of deaths you're counting on COVID-19, but I guarantee you haven't counted the deaths that suicide, that by staying at home and not being
domestic abuse.
Domestic abuse.
You know, domestic abuse, suicide. You know, the storm of depression that's going to come out of this. I mean, the UK is already feeling it. They're already saying, issuing warnings, saying that, you know, they've opened up the suicide hotlines and they're getting tons of people calling in to suicide hotlines because people are, we're not meant to be doing this.
No.
And it goes back to this. It's like, what world do you want to live in? The world is a horrible place. It is. It's dangerous. Yeah. Yeah. People die. Horrible things happen. People get hit by buses. People get killed by bears. It just happens. You know, people killed by other people, disease, all this stuff. So do you want to have the freedom to be able to understand the dangers and improve yourself so that you have a low risk and live a free life? Or do you want to live in a world where a couple of people at the top make a bunch of decisions for you and you're stuck in your hole and you're waiting for your next allowance? And I know they're two very, very, you know, drastic dichotomies. And I don't want to say that that's where we are now, but we have to make that decision of how do we want to live our lives? Are we going to be scared?
Yeah.
Or are we going to be courageous? And, you know, obviously don't be stupid.
Yeah.
Don't risk too much. Understand what the risks are and go out into the world understanding those risks and operating within those parameters. But, you know, you can't nerf the world. You know, you can't do that, you know, for anyone.
I don't know if you're old enough to know this,
hopeless,
but yeah, I remember I used to go tobogganing. If anybody in the Philippines knows what tobogganing is, it's sledding in the snow with no helmet on. Now they made it this fucking rule that you have to wear a helmet when you go tobogganing. I'm like, what are you now? You have to wear, you know, I understand riding a bicycle with a helmet, but I remember riding a bicycle without no helmet. You know what I mean? Like, you're right. There's this limit. Yeah. And I love how you use it. You can't nerf the world. You cannot nerf. That's called survival of the fittest also. So if you're dumb enough to do something stupid, then it's the survival of the fittest. But we need to, you know, there's just, again, it goes back to common sense, man. It goes back to discipline and common sense. I know I have it. I know you have it. I'm not going to go to a friggin' store and lick the cart handle. I'm just not going to do that, right?
So that's the thing is, there are going to be people who don't have common sense. There are going to be stupid people out there. We're never going to change that. We can have lockdowns and you can look out and there's going to be people smoking without their mask on right in the front, right? We can say you can't smoke and you're going to be a lockdown. You'll be inside and there's still people out doing it.
Yeah.
Nothing you do is going to change that. So you got to understand for yourself and go around instead of trying to change the world to fit your mold. Because you can't make everyone be like you. You can make you be like you. And you could take in those risks and you can make adjustments for yourself. But you can't do it for other people.
Yeah.
And those people who think that a government could come in and just change everyone's life because this is the way, you know, it just doesn't work. The human beings, it has never worked. It won't work. And they could get away with it for a little bit. You know, because people do get scared and fear is a very powerful tool. But human beings are way too complex for that.
Yeah.
I honestly believe, you know, we gotta have our freedoms.
Yeah. And we continue this, our mental health of a lot of people are going to diminish. Like you need, for me, either you're doing the race or you're doing CrossFit, or even if you're going to like having a glass of wine with some friends, having a good unwind of the end of the day. That's necessary. We need that for our mental health. We need to be able to kind of sit back and relax. Like I said, enjoy your bottle of wine. At the end of the day, it's like, okay, this is my day. Okay, tomorrow's another day. And deal with that. You take that away. It's just more and more the mental health is going to go, like, it's just going to come down to almost everyone's going to have like some sort of mental, like PTSD. Through this whole quarantine, and we need to bring that back, right? And I don't think it's that hard, but who am I to say? But I just feel like, they're nerfing the world, but for what price, man? Like, you know, again,
it's a big price.
It's a huge price. And I remember looking at some photos of Spartan because I was, you know, working on something, and I looked at him like, wow, that looked like so much fun. Then I started replaying it back in my head. Being with that much people, for me, that felt like that energy of this, you know, people excited. That's amazing. And we need that for our mental health of anything that we do in life. We have to have that positive energy. And right now it's being challenged. And again, I'm not going to be like, oh, we have to reopen. I don't know. Like who am I? I want to reopen.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff, but obviously we're going to play safe. You know, even with the refine, the way we're going to open it, we'll announce it next week. But we came up with the best safety protocol that we can come up with because we don't know what the government's telling us to do or what to do. But again, that's just smart. Like we're going to play with it. But again, we need to open up. Like I think just with common sense and discipline, and that's the hard part. Not everyone has it, unfortunately, here.
Yeah.
And I've seen it today.
Everywhere. Yeah.
I saw it today. I was in a freaking line in the grocery store and they have their mask on, but it's only covering their mouth and their nose is showing, right? Or they'll have it on their chin just as long as they have it. It's like, that's not helping. But again, I'm not going to catch it because I'm
hurt. You got to socially distance, right? That's when you say, okay, that person's being stupid. Now I'm going to be responsible because I have an old person at home and I don't want to give the virus to the old person, right?
But yeah, and I looked at him like, oh man, you're wearing it wrong. But I'm not like, wow, you're jeopardizing my life. I'm going to die now because of you. No, because I'm not even close to you. Like you're more than 6 feet away, which I keep that distance. I don't even have to wear my mask really, then I'm not going to catch it from you. But I'm just saying, hey, you know, the way you're wearing it, if you're going to wear a mask, like wear it properly, bro.
Yeah.
But that's
we'll do it right.
Yeah. Do it right. If you're going to do it, you know what I mean? Like it's just stuff like that. Just common sense. Like I saw one guy, he was getting something on the shelf. And he put it back and he did this and he put it like, I'm like, okay, stop doing that. Like, you can't do that. It's common sense. But again, because of that, they're nerfing the world. And again, we don't know if they're going to do, they're talking about now. I think there's about 12 or 13 in Quezon City just went back to lockdown with EE, I think it was called EECQ.
I know they're going to run out of acronyms.
I know. I don't know, man. I feel like we should all band together and do, I don't know how you would do it. Like, I don't know, an impromptu race. I don't know. I don't know what it would be. You know what I mean? But you see like, but it's, you know, I saw Kuya Kim, I follow him and he was like, you know, at home riding the bicycle or running on the treadmill. And now he's back out on the road and he looks so happy. People need that. You know, I know Kim well enough that was the best day ever when he was on the track, especially with his wife running. Even with the mask, he hated it because it felt like a 20 kilometer felt like a 10 kilometer felt like a 20 kilometer. But he was in his element, you know, because he was living life. Mm-hmm. That's the life. It's not on the treadmill at home in his backyard or on a freaking cycle. It needs to be outside. I know another girl that I follow, she's on the, like now she's running. We need that. We need that so badly for our mental health because we made a decision in our life that we're going to be one, go all in life. So I'm going to live my life all in. If it's food, if it's health, it's working out, it's business, everything. That's being challenged right now. Money, yes, but more importantly, is that mental health, which a lot of people I feel bad for who decided to go all in. And now they're like, man, I just decided to go all in and this happened. I'm going to go back to my old habits.
Oh, but yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly. And it's not a healthy environment to build healthy habits, you know, being stuck in your apartment, watching Netflix all day.
Yeah. And I bet you miss getting a massage. You know what I mean? Like I'll plug it, but the refined.
Dude.
Because the way you work, like I said, now I know you're laser focused. When you work, you go all in every day. Like as soon as it's race day, all in, boom, laser focus. Your time at the refine to recharge, that is so important because you would not be able to do that day race the way you do it if you constantly were doing that without any recharge moment and time for yourself. And that's what I know why you do it. And I love that you do it. And it's like, wow. And you're taking your hour. You come back out there and you're like, you're so groggy. And I'm like, wow, he's back to, like, he's back to where he is.
Yeah. Well, but the burning out is a real thing. You know, you can really burn out, and it's great to be disciplined and it's great to be focused, but you can work yourself to the bone. And that's in one of those other health things, right? It's like, you can't do that. You stress yourself out. You lower your immune system, do all that stuff. You got to be able to take care of yourself. And that's why I think the Refined is such a great space for me, because, you know, I can go in there. I can really relax. You know, even if it's not just a massage, just getting a haircut in a nice chair, being able to turn off my mind, have a drink in a great environment, and then go get back out to work. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. It's necessary. I need it.
Yeah. We cannot wait for this, you know, to start up again. Cause I know I get DM'd a lot from our members saying, when is it going to start? And it's not necessarily, I want to get a haircut. They want a place to kind of get away and unwind, you know, even if they're working, they said that they love working there because it's just so relaxed. Like, they'll, you know, pop up their laptops up on the table. They'll put their headphones on and then they'll take a break because, you know what, I'm going to do a massage right now. Is there any availability? Yeah, cool. And then they come out and they're back at it again. We need that. Again, it's mental health. That's, you know, why we do it. And we need that, to your point, is the goal of something. Cause I know I was actually trying to, okay, I'm going to get back into it. Cause I knew I was going to have a race in June. I think it was June, in a Spartan race, but now I'm not, but now I'm like, well, what's the point of working out, kind of thing. Right. Cause I don't want, you know, I don't want to die out there. And when I say die, not
just move
die.
June to September.
Well, no, it is.
Change your goal. We got it.
But I love that because now that I know it's in September, I am going to do it because now I have a goal. I have a set goal. I need to be fit enough or fit to do the 5 kilometer race on September. Now I can work backwards and say, okay, I can plan for it. And that's what I need. I need that small time goal. Like, that's, I don't know about you, but I'm not about big goals. Oh, down here. No, I can't control 5 years from now. I can control next week, the week after. So I create small little goals throughout the week and say, okay, I got to accomplish this. Okay, I'm good. If I don't accomplish it, oh, well, I'll figure out why I didn't accomplish it. But something like September, that's far enough to say, yep, I can do that. So starting this week, I'm going to have this kind of diet and maybe I'll do a few burpees or whatever, and then kind of move towards the September race. I'm just bad because I love weights. I love lifting. I like the iron clanking. That's me. I don't have that here. Amy has an amazing gym here for her clients and stuff that she does online, but it's boxing. But that's not me. I like lifting and hearing the, man, just putting the pin in and
bang, manly bang. Man.
It is a manly man because I have my headphones on and I focus on that. And I focus that dumbbell that's over my head, not the fall on my head. I can't think of work, but I need that. I can't do it at home. I just can't. I need to get out. I need to go to a space that, it's no reminder of work. So, but when this starts, trust me, I will be back training and getting ready for the September race because we need to really demonstrate to everyone, you're not going to die doing the Spartan race of COVID-19. You're not. Like, I'm not a doctor, but you're not. Like, if you're healthy and you train for that September race, trust me, your immune system is getting stronger and stronger and stronger, that you're basically protecting yourself from even catching it. That's better than a mask, right? That's
and that doesn't mean we're not going to take precautions. It doesn't mean that we're going to be silly and do things. You know, and it doesn't mean that you should. Just because you have a good immune system and you're healthy doesn't mean that you shouldn't wash your hands or shouldn't not, you should touch your face now. It's okay. You know, because you never know when there's that really crazy virus is out there, right? That
exactly.
Tear through your immune system. But at least knowing that you have a strong first defense, instead of relying, you know, relying on the doctors in the ER, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
I think it's really important, you know.
It is super important. Like I said, we have to start going back to living life. We need to live our life now. We work really hard to be where we are in our life. Now we need it back again. And I know for me, I need that back of just having a purpose. My purpose is not just in the house. It's outside. It's helping other people. It's, you know, it's really spreading that message to everyone. It can't just be at the home, but yeah, man, I mean, that's why I wanted, it was such a big you know, I wanted to talk to you and discuss this because we, like I said, we've talked, you know, all the time at the Refine when you're not getting a massage and you relax, or you like, because sometimes you're there to have a meeting and you'll have your headphones, you're doing a meeting on call. But when we did talk, it was amazing. And I that's why I wanted to have this conversation on this podcast, because again, if one person hears this and gets motivated to do 10 burpees today, because they're like, you know what, I think I'm going to register for that September race. If anybody's listening, register. I guarantee by you registering, you're going to train. You're going to start watching what you eat, because you're like, oh my God, September is just around the corner. Now I have a purpose why I'm not going to have this large pizza every day or sisig or lechon. I'm going to eat more vegetables. I'm going to eat properly. I'm going to, you know, work out even for 30 minutes a day. It's going to make your time at the race even more enjoyable. But we need the Spartan race. I'm not just saying this for this, for the podcast, or trying to plug you guys. We need Spartan race and things like that, like CrossFit, because it is a goal that we have to set for ourselves mentally to do something to better ourselves. And we need that more. It's more essential now than ever. And if anything, if the government's picking and choosing what's essential, they need to open you guys up, because you guys are essential. All gyms, all fitness places is essential. It is 100% essential. I'll be 100%. Is getting your haircut essential? No. Is getting a massage essential? No. Would I want them to open up? Yes. But if we're really being honest here, the essential things that we need to open up is all the gyms and all the like Spartan races and getting registered and getting people working out and getting back to fitness and health. That's essential. That's more essential than opening up a warehouse for manufacturing. Yes, do we need that for the government and economy? Yeah, but that's not solving the problem. The problem is immunity, and we need to go back to health. So, man, I want to thank you, man, for being like this. I guarantee you, man. If you're cool with this, this is not going to be the last time. I'm gonna do a round table of guests, of members, and we're gonna do. Obviously, we have to do via Zoom, but we'll do a whole group talk about. You know, it's kind of like a mini mastermind group of entrepreneurs, like-minded individuals, and get people's point of view of what's going on and in their business or in their life. But I love talking to you, man. This is one awesome. Of, honestly, I love all the people that I interview, but I was looking forward to this because I was getting sick and tired of hearing nothing said about health, nothing about immunity. Yeah. And you, and I'll plug her, Amy at Empower Clubhouse, she is pushing health and fitness to the T. Yeah. Like she is busier now, and she's on her, especially in content, plugging away, join my group, because she knows if you stay home and watch Netflix, it's going to be hard to come back to it. So she's offering these classes.
Yeah.
We need to get back to that, and we need to support and really champion all these people that are trying to bring health and fitness, which you are one of them. And you're like I said, that, when I saw the Spartan race with Amy, that changed me, man. I'm like, wow, this is what it's all about. And this is, I want to congratulate you on all the things that you're always doing, man, for everyone, especially for the Philippines, because it's so new here. But man, you had huge crowds. But thank you so much for being on this All In podcast.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me. It's really great talking to you, Noel. And, you know, I love being part of the Refine community. What you do and bringing people together is really awesome. The way that, you know, you're taking the concept and you know, taking this concept and just pivoting, turning Refine from, you know, a majority being a more of a community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and it's really inspiring to watch that. So thank you for having me.
That's amazing.
Anytime you want me back, I'm happy to come on.
Oh,
back.
I will.
I'm
gonna
be see you in person.
I'm gonna set this up. I'm gonna set up a new one, because we are gonna be launching in a couple of weeks the new direction of the Refine. But this is gonna be this All In is actually part of it, of bringing our members together and having conversations just like this, just like what we do in the Refine. And then when we do open up in the physical space, we'll continue it there. But thank you so much, brother.
Thank you for listening to All In, a podcast brought to you by The Refine, a gentleman's lifestyle experience. Visit therefinedlounge.com for more details.